This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, "Hey Google, play WFAN."
All right, 11:02 on the Fan. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show. 11:02 here, Teak. 877-337-6666. I want to see Pete Alonso. Here's what I want to happen. I want this to happen in the first inning today.
Mm-hmm.
Over at Citi Field. Doubleheader. All right. By the way, good job by the Mets canceling that very, very early. Because we played last night.
Did you really?
We did. And the game after us played.
Did it get bad for you
guys?
Well,
we there was an interruption.
Yeah.
We all got in our cars. See, the thing is, and we didn't have this growing up because we played on a public park. But where we, you know, where I live and where we play, we have a nice turf field, nice facility, and they've got the lightning siren.
So
within a 30-mile radius, you got to stop playing.
Yeah, that's right. Even if it doesn't necessarily come anywhere close to you.
Yeah. I can't stand that. But you got to follow the rules, and we did, and we got both games in. Our game, the game after us. Point being, you know, the Mets could have, you know what? I hate to take the gratuitous shot. The Wilpons probably would have done it differently. Oh, I can make a few bucks on parking and concession and steal, I don't know, $50,000, and then they sit here for 4 hours before we cancel it. So good job by the Mets. But here's what I want to see happen in the first inning today. And I don't want Lindor to make an error because he's not playing well enough to make an error. But ground ball to Lindor. Up, short hops it. Up, gets by Alonso. And Alonso collides with Stubby. And we got a brawl. That's what I want to happen.
I
want to see Alonso give the forearm shiver and mush him right in the head.
Yeah. No, I don't think this team is that way. They're just not. They don't have that.
How's that, Hoff?
They
that
don't
satisfying?
Have that kind of attitude. The Mets are not that.
How do you know?
Aggressive.
How do you know about that? I don't know about that.
Pain in the ass.
How do you know?
Frustrate the hell out. They're just not. Right?
I don't know that yet.
This team feels so connected. And like Hoff sent us a story about Escobar and Jankowski.
Oh, with the jerseys?
With the jerseys. Like, look, I know what my role is. I'm going to play my role. I love it. It's awesome. This team is great. Nobody has my jersey. So he goes out and gets the jerseys.
And they came in. I think there was a Jankowski jersey on everybody's stool.
Exactly.
In the lot.
He started handing them out.
Yeah,
and
great.
So it's just like, it's a cool way to acknowledge, I think, your teammates and some of the things that they, like, my point is, they're paying attention to what every guy's emotional state is, or or how they're thinking.
So that means they should have paid attention when Alonso was attacked by that Cavalier first base coach last month.
Attacked is a little aggressive.
Well, he's trying to stir things up, Barber.
I
know it's aggressive. He grabbed them from behind. He didn't attack him. I'm saying that facetiously.
Of course he did.
He grabbed them from behind.
Of course he did.
That is indisputable.
Pete Alonso is a big dude, man.
Okay.
If you're trying to prevent him from wrecking whoever he's going after, because Pete Alonso would wreck whoever he's going after, you kind of got to go aggressive.
Let me ask you a question.
That.
Now, I know you've never been in a bar fight, and thankfully it's been years since we've had one, right?
Yes.
But like back in the day, and I'm sure that, you know, Boomer would say this, and Cardin, like the guys who just, this happened to, like, you just know the rules. And God, it's a million years ago, and it's the last thing I would want now because I would fall in half. I think I would crack in half if I had to throw a punch or get hit with one. But if you grab somebody from behind, when tension's high, you're asking to get laid out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
If you're trying to defuse it,
experience.
If you're trying to defuse it, you really, if you really try to defuse it, Like, say something happens on a Little League field, and, like, the coach is getting loud, whatever. You put your hands up, you walk out, say, hey, you know, coach, trying to help you out. Like, you don't come and grab the guy from behind.
But he's trying to prevent him from going in and creating more damage.
Then that's okay. Then Alonzo's got to get a little retaliation today.
We'll see.
I want to see it. Hoff, am I wrong? They attacked your guy.
I want to say you're right. The problem is, I feel like if they do something, the Mets are going to be the ones to be like in trouble and suspended. So I don't need that right now.
That's right. You don't need it.
I don't need it.
You're wrong on this one. You're wrong.
What do you mean I'm wrong? What am I wrong about?
You're wrong.
About
Pete
what?
Alonzo
just
can't
take
retaliate.
The L on this. Take the L and stick it. What do you mean? Take the L on what?
Pete Alonzo's not going to retaliate. The Mets aren't going to.
Dude, do you really think that that's going to happen in the first inning? I'm just painting with my words.
My point is, he's not even thinking about that.
I don't know about that. Because what he said post-game, he said, listen, I'm strong, and I know what I'm capable of, and if I want to hurt somebody, I can.
I'm sure.
So if the Cardinals come out with a little bit of edge, maybe
I'm
this
sure
is
the first
day for
base
to hurt somebody.
He'll be standing there in the first inning, and he'll say, Pete will turn around, and he can't help but see him. He's going to say, hey, Pete, my bad. Promise you that happens.
I think you're probably correct. I think it might even happen in batting practice. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if it happens before they go out and he starts throwing the ball around the infield to start the top of the first.
Yep.
But if it doesn't,
water under the water. We just hold it off till about 5:45 when I get there?
Oh, that's right. You're going tonight.
A ton of us are going. We want to see fireworks today. We want to see the Mets win and fireworks.
Fireworks. Like, Mets, like, hit.
Question for you.
Six or seven runs.
And some punch storm. Okay with that.
Question for you. So he tweeted, I saw you tweet last night, once the game was officially canceled, that you get to, they push the fireworks back to tonight, right?
Yeah.
Do you really, you're taking the family, so that's the answer. But do you really get that excited at fireworks at a ballpark as an adult?
No, there's no actual fireworks. I'm talking about fireworks as far as, like, actual, like, fighting.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about actual fireworks, no.
Espousing violence.
I thought it was like, why is it fireworks?
I don't care about fireworks. I don't. No.
By the way, we're still waiting on a Jacob deGrom results of his latest MRI.
Which was yesterday, by the way.
It was yesterday. They either have not read the film or they are just waiting for the appropriate time to tell us.
They maybe have not read the what?
Film.
Dr. So-and-so, please report to the MRI reading room. Our star patient needs results. Thank you.
Well, I mean, sorry, grandma's hip and you know, can wait. It's Jacob deGrom's arm.
I think.
What the hell else is important?
I think they're waiting for fireworks, actually. They set the fireworks up so when they read the results, boom, fireworks.
Honestly, I don't know why they wouldn't tell us unless there's, it's.
I mean, oh, don't start saying if it's bad. I'm not even thinking that. I don't think that that they fully read them
yet. It was yesterday. How hard is it to read?
Well, it's not, which is why I just did what I just did, calling the doctor to rule number one. But this seems to happen a lot with the Mets.
Yes.
Over the years, like they've had a litany of medical mishaps. I don't think this is one of them. But you should read the results right away.
They've been very cautious with him, though. Even last time, we were like, they had the results and they waited around. Yeah. And again, when appropriate, that does scare me a little bit. When appropriate,
I think you guys get good news. I think I think you're gonna be okay with DeGrom. I do. Certainly
I think they're trying to temper expectations.
Okay. 877-337-6666. Nisconsin. Tony's on the fan. What up, Tone?
How's it going?
What's good?
Hey. So. I've been listening to the conversation for the last couple of weeks, and I really don't understand this Mets and Yankees hatred.
Hatred? Keep going. I'm not sure. What do you mean?
But you have all these Mets fans that are hating on the Yankees fans, and you have these Yankee fans that are hating on the Mets fans.
Mm-hmm. That's because they both can.
Did you just move here? I mean, it's always been like this, Tony.
And they both can without saying. Yeah, but you suck.
Yeah,
right. There's no you can't say that, right? So it's an actual conversation for the first time in a long time.
I know, but especially this year, you have both teams that are red hot. I mean, don't get me wrong; the Mets just lost their first series of the year, but still red hot. I just don't understand it.
Mm. Well, Tony, where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Wisconsin? Where did you grow up?
Over in Wisconsin.
Gotcha. You're a Mets or a Yankees? I'm guessing you're a Mets fan.
Yankees.
Okay, even better. All right, so you're a Yankees fan. didn't you do this with your buddy? How old are you?
26.
All right, so maybe you didn't do it 10 years. You know, the streets are a little different. But
I mean, don't get me wrong.
We did it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. In like 2015, there was a little bit of a little bit of rivalry.
Jealousy?
Yeah.
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 With them getting to the World Series and everything.
Okay. Who were you rooting for? Were you rooting for Kansas City or the Mets in that World Series?
I was going for the Mets just because I probably hate to hear it, but no, it's good for the city.
Fair enough. I got no problem with that. Yeah. That's cool. Now, if you're sitting up wearing a Mets hat and a Mets starter jacket, that's a little different. No, but listen, I mean, as much fun as we have with the Yanks and the Mets, bottom line is it's awesome for the economy.
Yep.
It's awesome for the morale.
That's right.
And if you're playing a team that's not from here, you want the other team to win. But not everybody's open-minded like we are, Tiki. let's get Ed up in Yonkers. Eddie's on the Fan. What's going on, Ed?
What's up, Ed?
How are you guys?
All good.
So, I have a few points.
Go ahead.
One is that I don't think there should be anybody who is Caucasian, anybody who's white, should be able to say that word.
Yes,
I agree.
I don't care in what kind of shape, whether it's ER or it's A, mm-hmm. Period.
100%.
I live in Washington Heights. All right, so no one. I've lived there 15 years. I hear it all the time. If they want to say it to each other, that's fine. But out of respect, no. No white guy should ever say the word.
I agree. 100%.
On Tierney, on your thing, who would wake up in the morning and go to dig up that kind of crap? Maybe. You said it could be a rumor. Maybe this guy heard this from a couple of different people. So he said to himself, that doesn't seem to fit the bill. The guy doesn't seem like that. So he went to research and found out that, he did put something like that. My
it's
other
possible.
Point is, I got two more. He was 17, man.
Yeah.
That's college.
Yeah.
Okay?
Not even college.
Senior in high school.
I mean, think about the things that you did at 17. The problem is,
exactly.
The benefit for us is nobody knew. And except for those that were in the direct vicinity of whatever was happening. That's mm-hmm. it.
They say 18 years old, you're an adult. I honestly think you're truly not an adult until you graduate college. Think of all this stupid, crazy stuff you mm-hmm. did in college.
Oh, God almighty.
Really? I mean, honestly. So I hear you, man. Oof. I jumped out of the cab, and I jumped over the fence at the town pool. Everybody does it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, not Tiki didn't, but
hey, man, I broke into the stadium and stole the sign off the wall.
What was it, like there a rivalry thing? Like the
No. Our stadium.
What? And kept it?
Yeah.
You still have it?
There was these tunnels. No, I think whoever took it. You know, we had all the stuff. Collective stuff.
Okay.
In the apartment, me, Rondé, James.
Was that Virginia? I thought you meant high school.
No,
gotcha.
No,
this
is Virginia and Mike and Chambliss, who was Chambliss's cousin or uncle or something like that. And so when we decided to go in these tunnels underneath UVA, it's just crazy.
Okay.
But there are these tunnels underneath.
Did everybody know about these tunnels?
Some people did. You just had to know how to get in them.
Was there actually like a hidden door to get
no,
in them and just, to use
you just,
them?
There was one sewer that capped that you could get up. But
you went through the sewers?
Yeah. It wasn't a sewer, but it's like a drainage tunnel.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so we're just walking in these tunnels and we're like, and someone goes, you know, the stadium's over there. So we're like, all right, let's go. So we went over and we come up to the stadium. There's a sign. I forget what it said. Like, no, whatever. And mm-hmm. so we took it and hung it on our wall.
See that? That's good.
That's
now
great.
I know that you're actually a human being.
Yeah, deviant.
That you did that stuff.
Nobody ever found out.
I mean, that was awesome. When you go away to college first, like, you know, a week or two before the start, we'd go up early, a bunch of the baseball guys, whatever, off campus especially. And now you got to decorate the apartment. You go to the local beer stop. You get like the Bud Light, Bud Bowl, and the balloon. Not the balloons, like. The things they have at the distributor. Oh man, I love that stuff. Can we go back to college just for a week? Mm. Think they'd have me?
I wouldn't come back to adulthood. I'd stay as a college student.
I hear you. Imagine Hoff back then. He must have been a wild man. You were, weren't you?
I know what you're talking about.
Total. Sal's in Brooklyn. Speaking of wild men, what's happening, Sally boy?
Good morning, boys. How you guys doing today?
Oh, it's great, man.
Hey, you know, we got to start it out with a little soccer talk to get on BT's nerves. Oh, congratulations on that win. God.
That's right.
Win for you over
FA, FA Cup penalties, 6-5.
Hey, what do you think about Haaland signing with City?
I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches at Man City.
Ain't it?
An embarrassment of riches.
The rich get richer. Anyway, hey.
Oh,
hey, BT, we're back with you, my brother. what people don't realize, look at my passion, man, because it's baseball. New York, this is in our DNA. It really is in our blood, as much as football, hockey, basketball. But it's not like the, you know, the old-time New Yorkers where you had three teams here and everybody had their bragging rights. And even though the Yankees were winning the titles, they weren't drawing the crowds because it was always 2-1 National League to American League.
Yep.
So Yankee fans really disliked the Giants and the Dodger fans as much as the National League in general. And then, of course, once the Giants left and the Dodgers left, everybody jumped bandwagon on the Mets, of course, being a National League team. Because there was no way Allegiance at that time would go to the American League. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just different now because with the interleague play and all of that.
Well, that's what my dad did, Sal. The Brooklyn Dodger fan became a Mets fan. Listen, territoriality as a sports fan is just, it is awesome.
But it's just, it runs deeper here in the city. I mean, I'm just saying.
I got you.
It really runs deep, you know. And then when I hear these comparisons, hey, like a few days ago you were talking George Alonso and everybody was getting upset. I mean, I used to go crazy when people would tell me Doug Flynn was better than Willie Randle. It just don't happen, but it's okay. Kiki, here's my thing.
Yeah.
They're both on the field and you're choosing upsides. Who are you taking?
I mean,
who are you taking?
I gotta go Liverpool. I can't.
No. Liverpool's winning. I forget that. I'm talking Judge Alonso.
No, I'm talking Judge, without a doubt.
Come on.
Of course, man.
Not even close.
You know, it's
not
like
even close.
No.
It's like the Hall of Famer.
Sal, you like how I slipped in my Reds there, huh?
Of course, man. Yo, I'm fighting everybody over here. They're all trying to tell me Real Madrid. Ain't happening, man.
Get out of here.
Thank you, Sal.
Get out of here.
Buddy. God bless you, Sal. Yeah, I mean, listen, it is. It's different. You know, the remnants from the generation, the 50s and the 60s, certainly slid into the 70s, which hit me in the 80s.
Yep.
I get it. But I'm under I don't believe false pretense that it's even remotely like it was. I mean, it's people in their 30s and 40s who are keeping it, and 50s.
You know what's crazy? I was just talking to Dove about this, you know, briefly. I mean, I know it, but I didn't conceptualize it, that there were three teams in New York. You just don't, it didn't register until he just said that.
Dude, it was, and not only were there three teams, you had Willie Mays, and if you don't, it's either Willie Mays or Babe Ruth is the greatest player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go either way because, you know, Babe didn't play against minorities. Willie was a better athlete, but Babe was one of a kind. I can see both sides. So you had Willie Mays in center for the Giants. You had Duke Snider, who wasn't as good as Willie or as good as Mickey Mantle, but good, actually great. You had the three preeminent stars in the baseball universe within 15 miles, dude.
Yeah. It had to be an amazing era.
I would have loved to have seen a game at the Polo Grounds in Ebbets Field. I mean, I've seen so many documentaries. It just looks so
cool. But I wonder,
was
the rivalry the same?
Like, well, the Dodgers couldn't beat the Yankees. The Dodgers, until they finally did.
Yeah, but the Dodgers and the Giants were both national.
Oh, yeah. And remember when
where was the rivalry?
Well, the way...
You know what I mean?
The rivalry was to get to the World Series for those two teams. And think about this. The way the whole West Coast or the migration out west was conceptualized, they actually gave Walter O'Malley, right, who took the Brooklyn Dodgers and brought them out west. And I don't know if it was the mayor or the governor. I honestly forget. Out in California, I think it was the mayor. Could be wrong. In the mid-ish 50s, they had O'Malley basically tour the land in California in a chopper. Like, whatever you want, take. And that's Chavez Ravine. That's where they built Dodger Stadium. But to get baseball west of the Mississippi, that's why the Cardinals and the Cubbies have so many fans.
Yes.
Because from the up until the late 50s, that's all they had.
That was Westmost.
They had to go with two teams, otherwise travel wouldn't have been palatable. So that's why they both left at that point. And then you had a couple of years, no National League baseball. Then the Mets were born, and that's why, you know, the baton, and that's how the baton was passed. Mm. I mean, listen.
Baseball history is interesting.
It's the best.
That's why I like having you as a partner, because you have this knowledge of this stuff. History of the game. Well, listen, that I didn't grow up. I didn't grow up love it.
My incredible sense of humor. That actually made Dove laugh. Wow. Was that slightly funny or was that just Dove laughing
oddly?
It
took 5 months. Congratulations.
Yeah, hey, listen. Dove's doing a great job today. So far. 877-337-6666. It is the Tiki and Tierney Show. We got you until 2. Yankee tickets straight up in 1 hour. Yankee and Met talk right now. The rest of the way, Carter Roberts coming up after us.
Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
All right, 11:28 here on the Fan. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show. Yankee tickets coming up next hour. Yankee and Met talk all day. Tiki, I've got something for you that I think you're going to find very interesting.
Go ahead.
One thing about my partner, you tell him once, he retains it. He then goes and studies it. So I know that you will have a little nerdy project that you would love to dive into tonight.
All right, go ahead.
But let me at least get you going. So we were talking about the Giants, the Dodgers, the Yankees, obviously, before the Mets were born in the early 60s. So, you know, as much as Walter O'Malley gets crushed, and rightfully so, very much a villainous character in New York sporting lore, it's a bit of a misrepresentation. Because Walter O'Malley wanted to stay in Brooklyn. The problem was the ballpark was dilapidated, and it didn't even hold a lot of people, so it just wasn't viable anymore, right? So he found a dome, I find this amazing, a dome-obsessed architect in 1955 called Buckminster Fuller. This is 10 years before the Astrodome was built out at Houston. So you want to talk about being a visionary, and this is before California said, hey, take whatever land you want.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay in New York. He had all of the state legislators lined.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He had every political influence at his disposal except the one guy he needed, which was Robert Moses, obviously a real estate guy, right? Building most of the infrastructure of where we are.
Who was the mayor?
Was it Harriman? I think it may have been Harriman.
I can look it up.
Think it was Harriman. I could be off on that. It wasn't. Let me see. I'm going to go with Harriman. Either way, don't derail the conversation. And so it was called the Brooklyn Sports Center, otherwise known as the Dodger Dome. It was going to cost $6 billion to construct. It was privately financed. Now, again, this is 1955 when they start to conceptualize this. O'Malley did. And what Moses was completely opposed to was that kind of a stadium in Brooklyn, because it would just, I think he called it the Great Wall of China in terms of traffic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he wanted to build it in Queens, kind of where the Mets are now. And O'Malley's like, dude, if you build in Queens, we're not the Brooklyn Dodgers, which is the whole branding, and it's really interesting. So as you read and learn a little bit more about Walter O'Malley, scorned, and I get it, he was literally responsible for taking the team, but from a business point of view, I think we all would have done it. He wanted to stay.
The Dodger Dome in Brooklyn.
They had pictures of the Dodger Dome. Google a picture of the Dodger Dome. Absolutely.
I mean, it didn't actually happen, though.
No, but they had this, you know, they built the little model.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
That's how advanced it was. They were trying to make it happen. And Buckminster Fuller, if you want to find a better one, that was the architectural firm. And it was the guy was just hell-bent on building a dome. And only $6 million. I know it's, you know, back then $6 million, but whatever. Little history lesson for a boy, Teak.
I like history.
Get him up to speed on that.
Dodger done. Dome's almost done.
See? Isn't that crazy? Do you have an actual picture of it?
No, this is the layout of
the land. I'll find one for you during the break. It's awesome. It really is. 877-337-6666. Let's get Gary, Linden, New Jersey. What's going on, Gary? How are you today?
Good morning, man. How you doing?
We are good.
Gary.
Listen, I understand my undefeated friend is coming back to defend this title.
Who's this?
That's you, Brandon, coming from Harness Racing, driving on the 70.
Oh, that's right. It's the Celebrity Sports Derby, which I won.
When is it?
It's June, Gary, what is it, June what?
17th, June 17th to Friday night.
June 17th, Friday night. I'm there to defend the crown and put a couple of shekels on your boy. We're going to have to win this one again, right? Are you going to – am I going to ride with you again?
No, you're not going to ride with me again. No, I'm just going to be there hosting it.
All right, I got you. That was a fun night. That'll be cool.
I think you rode with Corey Callahan last time, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's right. It was Corey. You're right. It was Corey.
Yeah, listen, you guys agree with this, that Buck and Boone this year, just the way they're managing, one into managing, said, listen, you know, you guys got to leave me alone with the analytics. I just got to manage my way, and that's it.
It feels that way a little bit. Some of these guys getting deeper in their starts. The way that Boone was trying to find maybe analytically the right lineup, but ultimately he went back to feel, right? It just feels better to have DJ up top and then Judge and then Rizzo. I think it's been a combination of both for actually both of these teams, because they're not ignoring it, that's for sure. Just because of the era that we're in right now. But you can feel that it feels like they're using feel more. It's a lot of use of the word feel.
And it's amazing how winning changes everything.
No, of course.
These guys were losing. They'd be the worst manager. And we knew Buck was no good. Boone should never have been back. But now they win. Everything is perfect.
Well, I wouldn't say it's perfect, because your third baseman's got a home run. one home run in about 120 at-bats. You know, I mean, I would say perfect. McGill's hurt. DeGrom's not back yet. Your catcher's hurt, who doesn't hit anyway. Perfect is not the word that I would reach for.
It's
good right now.
Yeah.
With the potential to get better, but also the potential to get worse.
Yeah. Are they swimming? They're still swimming.
They're still set the pace. They're in front of the pool.
They're not treading yet.
No, they're not treading water yet.
They're swimming.
Yeah.
Maybe getting a little bit fatigued being in the water for so long, but they're still swimming.
Mm-hmm.
They're not at that point where they're like, oh God, we gotta not drown.
No,
we gotta just
they're
tread
not
water.
There yet.
But if they have a couple more bad breaks, you don't know. But right now they feel good.
Better get that bat that I'm telling everybody about. Sam's up in Bristol, Connecticut. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
We are good, Sam.
Hey, just want to say I'm a huge Yankee fan. It seems like we're on pace for good things or great things, because a lot of unexpected players are performing well. Segue to that is our man Nestor Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to talk about the tweet. I'm obviously a Hispanic minority, so I get how people are trying to make it a big deal.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a rap song, I guess,
mm-hmm.
and he was 17, no big deal. I grew up in a community where, yes, the slang is there, but let's not forget that there is a lot of the black community who are not in favor of using the word amongst themselves.
100%.
They feel like it's still an offensive thing. There was a caller earlier who you asked the question, what if it was someone else? I hope you can remember that question.
Yeah.
If it was someone else and the context was different, how would he feel?
Yeah. The hypothetical was Nestor Cortez is basically the number one pitcher on the Yankees right now, even though Garrett Cole is the actual ace. What if this was Garrett Cole? You know, someone uncovered this of Garrett Cole. What would the reaction be?
There would be more.
Well, right.
It'd be huge heat.
I agree. And it has to be in the context of what is being either said or tweeted. You know what I mean? Nestor Cortez was a rap song. It was a lyric of a rap song. I mean, if it's different, then I guess people would make a big deal about it. But I just wanted to point out the fact that the black community itself does not 100% agree with using the word even amongst themselves. So even though it is a cultural thing, and it, like you guys said, it was an accepted thing, we also need to keep that in mind.
Well,
but
you're right, Sam. I think it's just an is thing. It's not opined one way or another. It's not accepted or it's condoned or I don't know, chastised. It is an is thing. It is what it is. I hate saying that because it's a bad cliche, but it just is. And, you know, some people get really offended by it. Including black individuals, black Americans. Some don't. And that's why this is a little bit complicated when you try to pass judgment on someone using it in any context.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, the context of the usage and also the age in which it was used. I mean, those are two really important things. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and again, this applies to 99% a little more than that percentage of us. We're just trying to do right by the younger people.
Yeah.
And to try to, and forget about Cortez. I mean, just in totality, whether it was a young Josh Allen, whether it was a young Dante DiVincenzo and countless others and more, I'm sure that will surface over the next couple of years that we don't even know who they are yet because they haven't really hit that fame stratosphere. You know, to try to derail or ruin somebody's life, that shouldn't be the objective. The objective should be to try to teach, you know, take a moment that could be painful or is painful and use it as a teachable moment and get better. And if you do that, society's slowly going to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
In the car.
We're running.
In the shower.
Hot now. Hot water, hot shower.
Bring the fan with you anywhere on the Odyssey app. Download and search WFAN.
The Knicks get to play for their yearly championship tonight. It's the NBA draft lottery. And I'm sure those balls won't bounce our way. And they never do. Except in 85 when it was frozen. That didn't even get us a championship, even though we love Pat. So right now, the Knicks are probably hemmed into that 11 spot.
Mm.
You know, whatever. I'm not going to waste anybody's time too much on this, but they've got a 2% chance of winning the top overall pick, right? Probably Jabari Smith, probably. Banchero. I'd probably take Smith right now. 9.5% of gaining a top four pick, all right?
And, tiny.
Yeah, minuscule, basically. And they've got a 77.5% of staying at 11 and a 12.6% chance of dropping one slot to 12. That's the math behind it, but just apply common sense. We'll pick 11th. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the fan. Gil is in West Hempstead. What's going on, Gil?
Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, first time I've ever called. I'm a little bit nervous, so if I speak quickly, I apologize.
It's all good, man.
Slow it down, brother.
Slow it down. Brandon, the first one is, did you read the book or did you see the movie about the Dodger move?
I didn't read the book. I've read a lot of things on the Dodgers, and I've seen documentaries, but I did not read. I don't think I read the book you're referring to. A lot of articles.
No, I thought you were talking about the book. I just got in. Did you ever see The Ghost of Flatbush?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where you need. What Tiki really needs to understand is that he was furious about leaving.
Yep.
He didn't want to go, and there was a young lady that was in Los Angeles. Like, I don't know if she was a journalist. Was she, Brandon?
I thought she was a mayor. I thought she was a political influence, which was able to offer up any part of land O'Malley wanted. That's what I thought. Could
right,
be off on that part,
right, that's why he basically got it for free.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't go out there with somebody, and that's why the Giants almost also went out there with him.
Correct.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, after the move, basically, those two owners couldn't get along, Tiki. So what ended up happening is that he had to leave O'Malley. And I think he went to the Pirates, correct?
That's did he go to the Pirates? I don't even know that. Did he go to the Pirates? Do you know
that's
that?
Interesting.
Did he?
So he moves his team out, and he's no longer part of the team.
But what year did he go to? What year did he, that doesn't sound right. It could
maybe,
be.
Maybe you can Google it. Maybe three or 4 years later, you know, when they left.
Yeah.
But I do know that his first prominent signing with the Pirates was Roberto Clemente.
Clemente.
Wow. Interesting.
Okay, that's all I have to say. But, Brandon, one thing you have to tell Tiki about.
Yes.
Many years ago, you was on the radio, and I was driving, ironically, through Brooklyn.
Okay.
But let me backtrack. Where that Dodger Stadium's at, Tiki, that's where the Barclays Center's at.
Ah, got it.
Yeah.
Exactly the location.
That's where they wanted to put it?
Yeah.
Wow. That'd have been a hell of a place for a ballpark.
They were building along the railroad, so it made perfect for all the war veterans that were coming home. Moving to Long Island. That's what infuriated him even more.
Yep, and but guess who? Happy Brandon, Robert Moses ruined it all.
Yes, absolutely. Brandon, you have to tell Tiki that story. Many years ago, I'm driving through Brooklyn, ironically.
Yeah.
I'm at Roosevelt Field trying to find a parking spot.
Okay.
Where you were talking about the Passion of the Christ. You remember that story?
I don't.
Where somebody, when people got in and then left, I forgot how you talk, when you go see a movie for free.
Okay.
And I don't know the terminology, but you almost had me drive off the road because you had the whole studio laughing. You were in there watching The Passion of the Christ, and then two people got up and said, "We got to go find our other movie." What do you call that?
I don't remember. I got to tell you, Gil, I have a pretty fertile memory. I don't remember telling that story. I definitely don't remember laughing at The Passion of the Christ. That I don't remember. I'm sure
Was it a good movie?
It was tough. It was tough. Thanks for the call there, Gil. Oh, I clipped you. Sorry, bud. I don't remember the context of that. I don't. But listen, it's not uncommon for me to have people laughing. Yeah, it's all good. Dolph laughs at me all the time.
At or with.
Was that Mel Gibson?
I said.
That was Mel Gibson?
Mm-hmm. Movie, yeah.
Passion of the Christ? Did you see it, though? Or you, no. You didn't see it.
Let's get Jerry up in the Bronx.
Dolph does not watch projected television.
I do study Aramaic, though.
Ah.
What's up, Jerry? How are you today?
Pretty good, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good. What's up?
Tiggy, thank you for the memories. BT, you're going to have a future with this guy, let me tell you.
He's going to have a future with me,
nice,
Jerry. You better get it straight.
Just be nice to him.
You better get that straight. He's going to have a future with me.
Right now. And the reason I'm calling is about Joey Gallo in left field. Let me tell you something. If you look behind Giancarlo Stanton, everybody else on that lineup is just not hitting. Could you imagine what it would be like if he was half the play he was with Texas behind Stanton and then Josh Donaldson and then the rest of the lineup? The second thing I want to talk about is Hicks.
You know, and by the way, Jerry, if that was the case, I don't know, maybe they would have the best record in baseball.
Oh, my God. No. Don't misconstrue.
I hear you, man.
Right now, we're built for the season. Those guys got to hit.
Well, you know what, Jerry? I'm going to let you make your next point. You know what I think? Okay. And I don't think that they'll do this because Cashman's dug in on Gallo and we're probably going to ride a little bit. I would love to see, and I don't even know who that person is, but... You know, if you were able to just parachute a 27-year-old, fleet-footed, high contact, not a star, like a young Brett Gardner, a young Gardner, a pretty good outfielder, good wheels, good energy guy, left field, batting eighth, whatever, that's all this team needs.
Yeah. I get
maybe the team has the player, Marwin Gonzalez on the bench. Put the guy more in left field, at least against left-handers.
It's interesting.
I mean, give the guy a break.
Yeah, I mean, my only issue is with Gallo.
I got another point when you guys are ready.
Yeah, well, go ahead, do it, and I'll hit the Gallo thing.
I'm dictating terms
here. As far as the Rangers are concerned, let me tell you, they had the yips in the first few games. Let me tell you, Shesterkin was scaring me in that. When the shot was going towards him, the way I felt with Gleyber Torres at shortstop. Let me tell you.
Wow.
Don't tell me you didn't feel the same thing. I mean, he had the yips. The guy really did.
Yeah. I think he got overwhelmed. Exactly.
I think he was overwhelmed by the noise. I mean, they were chanting his name.
They were firing shots at him left and right. And the Rangers weren't shooting.
And nobody was clearing in front of him. So, he didn't know where half the things were going from. Anyway,
Tell me Rangers had yips in terms of not shooting the puck? Maybe that. I don't think Igor had the yips. I mean, I'm not a hockey savant, but yips? No, I don't think he had
yips. It was really confusing in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Put it that way. It was busy in front of him.
There you go.
Every time. Yep. But anyways, back to Gallo. My only issue with Gallo, because I do think he'll come out of this. I think he'll hit more home runs than we expect. He's on pace to hit. What do you have now? Five?
Five or six.
Yeah, five home runs
So
right now.
So what is he projected for?
Let's see. That would be...
I'll find it. Because I actually have the site. 15 right? I'll get it for you.
Go ahead.
I got
that.
You, Teak. I got you.
Whatever it may be.
Yep.
My only issue, and it's a small one, because he's gotten... to where he is in his career by doing exactly this. It's not like he's 26 years old. He's 32 years old.
Gallo?
Yeah. 28 years old. And my only issue is that he's not willing to try something different.
Mm.
He said this earlier in the year. He said, "I am who I am. I know how I swing. I know eventually it'll work itself out." But what if it doesn't?
And, well, it's not going to. And, he's never going to hit 250. And he's just not that kind of guy.
I'm not even talking. I want him to hit 200, BT.
If he has a good night tonight, he'll be knocking on the door. He's at .191. Go get him, Joe.
So maybe a little bit of an adjustment. Just have a little bit of an open mind.
Uh-huh.
I get why he's saying he's not, because he knows how to swing one way and that's it. But just a little bit of an open mind.
He's projected for, let's see, this season.
18, 21, something like that.
He is projected to hit 23 home runs, but how about this ghastly figure? Is this almost seems impossible, but it's not. 23 home runs, 32 RBIs.
That's bad.
That's bad. That's almost historically impossible.
Yeah.
You show me a guy that has 23 home runs and 32 RBIs.
Mm.
There's no way anybody's ever done that in the history of the game. There's no way. It's impossible almost. But if anybody's going to defy stats, it looks like our boy Joey's going to flirt with it. You know, I tell you, his I'm not here to bag on Gallo because he runs well. He's got a good arm. He's pretty good outfielder, but good power,
He's having a tough start. It is
tough year last year, tough year the year before. He's having a rough couple of years, and I don't think he's ever going to change. But the thing about Gallo, fundamentally, I the last thing I would do is ever teach a young kid to have that kind of a stance. Number one, his legs are far too wide, and I'm not a hitting coach. I know that, but he's also like inclined to the way he stands. When you have a slight open stance, your mind says, "I'm trying to jack."
Yeah,
because when it's a power move, right? It's like lining up to throw a haymaker, rather than just duck. He's lined up in a way where his mind is wired to try to hit a ball 500 feet. Now, what does it mean? It means that the outside of home plate, you are incredibly vulnerable, which means right away you're going to hit 235 if you're lucky,
because
you're going to throw everything out there, and you're going to be a very compromised player.
That's why
it's a horrendous approach.
That's why he's always 0-2, especially against lefties.
Oh, yeah. 0-2 Joey. It's our boy. 877-337-6666. We got Yankee tickets coming up next hour. And we've got, as I said at the top of the show, but I think it's a fairly big day for the Mets. But coming up next, we're all in. We'll tell you what that is next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.